The way a person becomes the friend of God and the way a person becomes a friend to someone else is by allowing the Holy Spirit to cultivate the fruit of the Spirit in their life. I don't think I've ever had such a difficult series to write on because I can't find anybody using the fruits of the Spirit as a springboard to make us a friend. So this morning we continue on in our look, doing the best I know how. Hopefully I can say something that will be of significance to you. You may have a father one day say to you, "My son is the star on the football team." I'd like to say back to him, "But what else does your son have going for him?" You know, just because he's a star on the football team doesn't mean he'll make anybody a very good friend. It doesn't mean he'll make any woman a good husband. It doesn't mean he'll make any child a good father. What else does he have going for him? Some woman may say, "My daughter, she was voted the most beautiful girl in the senior class." And I say, "What else does she have going for her?" Not that appearance is not important, but I mean, what else does she have going for her? For a lot of people, you know, that's enough. If the boy is attractive and a sports figure, that's enough. That's enough. If a girl is very attractive, very pretty, very charming, the boy says, "What else do you want, man?" That's it. That's the catch. She is a catch. You know, I said, no, that's not everything there is to it. I'm not saying it's not important, but I'm saying this, that is there anything else that that person has going for them besides their physical health and their physical appearance? You say, "Well, my child makes straight A's." What else does your child have going for him? Or her, you know. This to me is very important. To those of you who are here that are married and aren't married, the greatest friend you ought to ever have in your whole lifetime on this earth ought to be your husband and wife. If you cannot have a friend in your wife and husband, your marriage is already in serious trouble. The second greatest friend you ought to have would be your own children. After your husband and your wife, it ought to be your sons and your daughters. But you know, there are not very many people seemingly today who have ever been taught how to be a friend to anybody. The children don't know how to be a friend to mom and dad. Then when that child grows up, he does not still know how to be a friend of the girl he woos and wins and wins. Now, who's going to teach you how? Nobody ever taught me how to be a friend. Hey, did you teach your children how to be a friend? Do you even know how to start? Where to begin? If I said, "Well, just teach them all about the fruit of the Spirit," most of us couldn't even tell you the fruit of the Spirit. Now, we can pray for people. But what you're really praying for in all kind of personal dilemmas and relationships that break down, you're praying about friendship. Friends don't break apart. Friends don't hurt each other. Friends have a bound or a binding or a cement that holds them together. And so this morning we want to move into, if you can't be kind and you can't be peaceful, you really can't be very friendly, can you? You really can't. Now we want to move into a third area this morning, and our key verse in the Bible during this series of messages on friendship is found in the book of Proverbs. And it's the 18th chapter and the 24th verse. And the one element I'm going to talk about this morning is mentioned in that verse. The last verse of the 18th chapter, Proverbs. A man that has friends, or a friend that wants friends, must first show himself friendly. The last part of that verse, "And there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother." There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. If you go to the fruit of the Spirit and you try to find that one ingredient there that matches up with sticking closer than a brother, it's the fruit ingredient called faithfulness. Faithfulness. If you're going to become a friend of God, this becomes a priority requirement. In 1 Corinthians 1:9, I want to read something to you. If I say, "Well, I serve the Lord," somebody could say, "Well, is he faithful?" Is the Lord faithful? That's a good question. We sing a song, "What a friend we have in Jesus." Well, do you think he's faithful? 1 Corinthians 1:9. What does it say? First three words, "God is faithful." I mean, that makes him friendship material, doesn't it? Look at 1 Corinthians 4:2. "It is required in stewards," or let's just put it, "is required in God's people that a man be found" what? "Faithful." This is required. This is not optional. If you want to have a friend, and if you want to be a friend, folks, faithfulness is not an option. I mean, if you want to have a good marriage, faithfulness is not an option. It's a must. It should be at the top of the list. When the Bible says that Abraham was called the friend of God, I really believe this was the primary trait in the life of Abraham that caused him to be called this. Abraham was a very faithful individual to God. I want to begin with three questions for you. Multiple choice. You pick the right answer. And I'll tell you what the right answer is once you pick it. When you hear someone gossip about your friend, or let us say you have a friend, maybe it's your wife, your husband, your children, or some close friend of yours, and you overhear someone gossiping, belittling, running down, berating, undercutting, whatever you want to use, your friend, quickly now tell me, what is your reaction? I want to give you four choices. What is your reaction when you hear someone running down your friend verbally? Do you get angry inside? That's A. B. Do you keep your mouth shut? C. Do you defend your friend? D. Do you criticize a person for being a gossip? What is your answer? Well, now, if you are faithful, if faithfulness is a part of your friendship potentiality, then your answer ought to have been C. You'll defend your friend. You'll defend your friend. Second question. Let us say that tonight you're going to a big event that you've been planning for many months, look forward to, a sold out event. And just before you get ready to leave, there's a telephone call from a good friend, one who considers you a true friend. His car has gone dead. The battery's dead. It's nighttime. He's 25 miles away from you and 25 miles away from home. And he says, bring your jumper cables, or bring me a battery, or come get me. What is your response? A, you get upset, but you go anyway. B, you just say, tough luck. I told you to get that battery changed anyway. C, you say, well, I've got other plans, and I've been wanting to go to this event for a long time, and any other time I'd be glad to come, but I'm sorry, I can't do it. Or D, you tell him you will make arrangements for help to come, or you will be there. Faithfulness will make D the answer. If I cannot come, I will send help. But one way or the other, you will be helped because I'm your friend. And nothing is as important to me as my faithfulness to you. How many folks got like that? I tell you, if you ever have this happen to you, you begin to say, well, now who can I call? And the list begins to narrow very quickly. Oh, they won't come, they won't come, they won't come. Oh, if they come, I'll never hear the end of it. And pretty soon you say, you know, there's nobody to come. They're at work, and they're the only one I've got. What am I going to do? I don't have money for a taxi. But you know, a lot of times that's where we find ourselves. In our mind, we don't have anybody that faithful to us. You may even find some wives. The husband will say, hey, the ball game's on. I'm not going to come. Yeah. Find somebody around there to help you. Surely you got a credit card. All right, last question. How many friends do you have today that have been your friends since high school? Now, those of you who are too young to be out of high school, it won't work for you. But for those of you who are out of high school, how many friends do you have today that were very good friends of yours when you were in high school? I've got none. I mean, zilch. And I went to Milby. That's not too far distant from Pasadena. I don't have any. You say, well, Brunson, that's your fault. You're right. You're right. How many do you have? Answer, none. That's mine. A, none. I don't have any. B, 1 to 2. C, 3 to 4. D, 5 or more. Some may say, well, I was in high school, didn't have 5. You know, I sure don't have them now. But faithfulness would answer D. You see, a person who is faithful is able to really make friends because people are looking for somebody to be their friend who will be faithful. Not many folks will. Now, if you have 5 today of your friends that you had in high school, it's because you have been faithful to write. You have been faithful to send cards, birthday, Christmas, and whatever else you want to send. You have been faithful to visit over the years on vacation. You have been faithful to call them on the telephone. You have been faithful to see about them when you heard they were sick. You may have even gone many miles to visit in the hospital. And you know that person, though they may be in some other state and about to die, they know, my friend in Pasadena will come see me. Most folks wouldn't drive down the block to visit somebody in a hospital, much less travel 1,000 miles. I mean, you got to be pretty faithful to do that. But you see, if you have friends today from your high school period, you've been faithful to them. You've been faithful. I've lost contact with every one of them. But that's my fault. I have not put into my life a trait that would make me a potentially good friend to my high school students. Faithfulness is one of the, I believe, one of the main criteria that we use in determining whether or not a person is of great value to us. You know, to be honest with you, maybe I shouldn't be honest, but those of you who, what the Bible, or what I call the faithful few, I mean, you've got some value to me, people. Not because you put money in the plate, but I mean, you've got some other value to me. And I do, maybe I do wrong, but I look at people and I say, do you have this value in you of being faithful? And as a minister, mine's going to include faithfulness to God as well as faithfulness to me. And the more faithfulness you have to God, the more value you have to me. And so we say of a person, boy, that person is of great value. We need that person. You know why you say you need that person? Because that person is faithful. Come rain, shine, sleet, or snow, that person is faithful. You can count on them. If they're not in their spot, they're either dead or they're sick. And so they're faithful. And the faithfulness creates value. I'll tell you, a man that has a wife that's faithful and a wife that has a husband that's faithful, I mean, there's value in that. That's something to get excited about. You ask someone, where's your husband tonight? You got me? Your guess is as good as mine, probably better. I have no idea where he is. When's he coming in? You got me? What she's really saying is, this man has little value to me. He rooms and boards here, but that's about it. But he's of no value, really, to me. Personally, to me. Why? Because he's not faithful. He's not faithful. I said when I started, these sermons will probably lose me all the friends I got. But you know, what I'm trying to do is help myself. I need to know how to be a friend. Nobody ever told me. Now I'm trying to research it, trying to find out. I'm going to share with you what I'm finding out. But I believe what I'm saying is true. I don't hear many amens. But you know, but I believe it's true. I think all of us are filled with great potential. All of us have a lot to offer, folks. But if you're not faithful, I don't care what you have to offer, you won't offer it. Whatever potential you have, you're not ever going to utilize it. If you're not faithful, you can't count on somebody's support. I don't care how great they are if they're not faithful. You can't count on somebody's help if they're not willing to help you. You know, I don't care how talented somebody is if they won't help. If they won't be faithful, if they won't show up, if they won't care, if they won't come, you know, what good is all their potential? As far as you're concerned, they're a potential flop. Doesn't help you any. Doesn't help you. Not only that, but I say this, a person good at excuses reveals to you, here is a person probably not very faithful in their life. Every time somebody may say something to you or ask you to do something, you've got an excuse. Well, that's not the way to make a friend. That's not the way to be a friend. Because you know and I know most excuses are never accepted. We just go look for somebody else. But we don't accept most excuses as the honest truth. And if you refuse to be inconvenienced, if you refuse to put the wants of other people first, if it's your habit to do this, then you're not ever going to make anybody a real good friend. Now, that may hurt, but that's just the honest truth. You won't make God a good friend, and you won't make other people a good friend. If you will not be inconvenienced, and you refuse to change your schedule for the needs and the wants and the hurts of others, then you're just not ever going to be able to be faithful. That's just not going to be one of your characteristics. Therefore, without that characteristic, you're not going to be a good friend. You can't count on selfish person to be a faithful person. They're too wrapped up in their own little lives, their own selves, their own wants, their own wishes, their own dreams, their own plans, their own schedules. I mean, if they're selfish, you're not going to have a potentially very good friend, because they're going to be interested in their plans, not yours, and their pleasures, not yours. They're going to want their way, not interested in your way. And then not only that, but they normally will never let you interfere in their plans. If they do, they'll be so angry and upset and grouchy that you wish you never had to bother them. Let me ask you this. How many people do you think, and you think about this, how many people do you think feel a deep sense of obligation towards you? What do you think? How many really feel a sense of obligation towards you? How many people do you think really are glad and willing to go out of their way day or night to serve you? I don't know how you would answer that. How many people do you know really want to make you look good? How many really want to help you achieve success in life? How many do you know really want to help relieve you of your burden and rescue you from your problems? How many? Some say, well, preacher, I don't have enough time to get that involved and to be that concerned and to be that obligated. Man, I don't have time. Well, what are you doing? Well, I'm looking after me, myself, and I. Well, you're not going to be a good friend, are you? We tell people, well, you better count the cost, boy, before you buy a car. You know, you count the cost before you buy that house. You better count the cost before you put down the down payment on that engagement ring and wedding ring. You mean you better count the cost. But we never tell anybody to count the cost of being a friend. And I don't think there's anything more costly in my life than being a friend. And I think that's what's wrong today with most all the marriages that are busting up. You know, whatever you want to call it, incompatibility, I don't care what you call it. It's really, the bottom of it is unfaithful. They're just not faithful. Feel no obligation. People today run from obligations. They say, well, I don't want to be tied down. What you're saying is, I don't want to be a friend. They say, I don't want to get involved. What they're saying is, don't count on me for a friend, buddy. I don't want folks to take my freedom away from me. I want to be free to do my thing and go my way. Well, you don't want to be a friend then. Don't be mourned if you say, I don't have any friends, because you're not going to have any. If you don't want to be faithful, then you lose most of your value, folks. Really, your value to somebody else is in your faithfulness. What value is a wife that never comes home or a husband never comes home? What value? What value in a friend that won't go anywhere and pick you up when you're in distress? I mean, what value? Why have them? If you lost them, you wouldn't lose anything. So if you really want to be a friend, then you're going to have to increase your value. To increase your value, you have to be faithful. You have to be counted on. You have to be there. You have to care. You have to give. You have to sacrifice. These are all bad words in our vocabulary book. Maybe that's why when we started out, the person said, if you have seven friends in your lifetime, you're fortunate. There's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, but you don't find too many. You don't hope you find at least your mate to be that way. Well, I have to stop here because my time is about gone. But tonight, I'll come back again. And we'll finish it. I thought I'd finish these things every Sunday morning, but I'm just not able to do it. But I want to say some more things tonight about being faithful. What is your value to God? It's only in your faithfulness. What is your value to your wife? What is your value to your children? It's in your faithfulness. The child that says, Mom, my dad never talks to me. He's never around me. Never does anything with me. What's he saying? I got an unfaithful dad. My dad's of no value. It's as though I didn't even have one. Oh, he's here. He puts clothes on my back and food in my belly. But I mean, I don't have any dad. All he does is tell me to leave alone. I'm bothering him. He's worked all day. He's tired. He won't mess with me. A lot of kids say that, grew up with that attitude. But you see what's happened is the father says, well, I don't know why he didn't call me friend. I'm his friend. You've lost your value. So you become unfaithful to the child in his eyes. Because it's more to life than a full stomach and clothes on your back. That's not the only needs in life. So, to be a friend, think faithfulness, loyalty, integrity, honesty. Put some value on the scale as well as some weight. I got a lot of weight put on that scale, but I don't have a lot of value. I'm brave. And so let's enhance the value of ourselves. And the way you do that, be faithful. Be faithful. I appreciate the faithful few in this church. I really do. Father, we're thankful this morning for the scriptures that you give us, telling us how to make life so much better. We all want friends. We really all want to be a friend, but we don't really know how. And sometimes we have to stop and take a look. And maybe the reason we're not having as many friends as we want is because of some problems in our life. Father, may these messages, if there is a fault, flaw in our character, may we correct it. May we begin to work on, this morning especially, increasing the value of ourselves in the eyes of other people by just being faithful. We pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.